right-wing Israeli political party gains a lot of traction after coming out in support of building the Third Temple. There's a biblical bombshell. Nephilim ruins from the time of David and Goliath have been uncovered. And I get myself into a lot of trouble online. All that and more in today's Peck Report. Hey, everybody. Hope you are doing well. I apologize for my voice. I've come down with some kind of cold or something, but that's okay. We're gonna push through anyway. The meaning of the movie It, I think, is lost on most people. It's actually a cautionary tale. You get these things when they're small. They look cute. You think you can take care of them, but they grow up really, really fast. And then you got to flush them down the toilet and they end up terrorizing the whole town. Just say no to exotic pets. So there's quite a few stories that I wanted to talk about today. We're probably only going to be able to get to a couple of them. But I'm trying to decide which one we should save for members only. I think we're going to save the Goliath and Nephilim ruins for members only, because I really want to talk about this Israel stuff, and hopefully YouTube won't delete the video, but it'll be available on dailyrenegade.com if they do. So to start off with, let's just get to this story about the Third Temple. So the head of the Atzma Yehudit, which translates to Jewish Power Party, the head of the party, Itamar Ben-Gvir, and his Atzma Yehudit party, has come out in support of building the Third Temple in an exclusive interview with Breaking Israel News. So you can go to BreakingIsraelNews.com and check that out. This was just last Thursday, but on that same day that Ben-Gvir expressed support for the building of the Third Temple, polls have showed him passing the minimum threshold of 4 seats and entering the upcoming Knesset following elections on September 17th, which by the time you're watching this probably has already happened. Now, the Atzma Yehudit party is considered to be the most right-wing party in the current elections and was the center of a lot of controversy after two of their candidates, Baruch Marzel and Bensi Gopstein, were disqualified from running by the Supreme Court. But now that Moshe Feiglin and his Zehut, or Identity Party, dropped out of the race, Atzma Yehudit is the only party left in the elections who publicly supports building the Third Temple. So that's a pretty big deal. Zehut dropping out has helped Ben-Gvir's party capitalize on their voters and likely contributed to the dramatic climb in the polls. Ben-Gvir is also in favor of asserting sovereignty over all of Judea and Samaria and Gaza. He also calls for assisted emigration for Arabs from Israel and encouraging them to leave. Ben-Gvir is an attorney by trade, but calls himself a Jewish capitalist. As he puts it, that means that he is against all regulations regarding businesses, but believes that it is incumbent upon the government to ensure that the country's poor and needy is taken care of. So the party and its members are proud disciples of the late Rabbi Meir Kahani Yehid, another right-wing activist who is known for his plan to expel Arabs from Israel. So Kahani was assassinated by a member of Al-Qaeda in New York in 1990, making it the first Al-Qaeda terror attack on American soil. So we're going to have to keep our eyes on that. As of today, at the time of this recording, the elections have not happened yet. So we don't know what's going to happen, but we'll have to keep our eyes on it. And we'll definitely, stay updated here at Peck Report. But the push towards the Third Temple is getting more and more and more traction. Like that's getting more in the public eye in Israel. It's more of an accepted thing. And if we take a literal approach to Bible prophecy, then we know it's going to happen someday. Does it have to be today? No, but it's going to happen someday. And like I've said before, the solution to all of this is Jesus. That's why we have to reach these people with the gospel. If they accept who their Messiah is, one by one, If they accept who their Messiah is, they're not going to be pushing for this third temple stuff because they'll know it's not necessary. So that's a good thing as Christians to want to do is reach these people with the gospel and get them saved. We support two ministries that do just that, that minister to the Jewish people here at Daily Renegade. So your membership, when you buy a membership, 10% of that goes towards that effort. And another 10% goes towards helping children be cured of cancer and, you know, through St. Jude's. And also we support Created Equal, which is just an excellent pro-life ministry. So that's what your 20% of your membership fee goes to all that. So I got myself in a lot of trouble on Facebook recently. I'm actually kind of, well, I'm surprised that it happened the way that it did. In a lot of ways, I'm relieved because I had a lot of people unfriend me, but they're the kind of people that I would want unfriending me. So that's fine. It surprised me that this many people follow me who have these beliefs that I'm going to explain in just a minute, because I do videos on Israel all the time, and I'm always advocating for the Jewish people, especially, you know, trying to get people over there to witness to them and get them saved. In my first interview with Shelley Niece and Jim Barfield, they head up the Copper Scroll Project, and Shelley Niece is involved in the Jerusalem Connection, and we support those two ministries at Daily Renegade. But we talked about Zionism because it's a term that comes up and it seems like everybody has a different definition of it. So we talked about that. This was a few months ago, but we talked about that. And the definition, the actual real definition of Zionism, it's really simple. And all it is, and I posted this, all it is it's a noun, Zionist, it's a noun, a supporter of Zionism, a person who believes in the development and protection of a Jewish nation in what is now Israel. All right, so according to that definition, I would be a Zionist. Many of you would be as well. But that word has all of this conspiratorial baggage attached to it. So all that I did was, and I can even show you the post here. Right here, I've just posted, I believe that Israel and the Jewish people have a right to exist. That's it. And then I just did the, you know, I just posted the definition of Zionist. That should have been the least controversial thing that I have ever said. You know, I mean, that it's just a simple statement, doesn't have to mean anything beyond what it says. Yet many people decided to take that and run with it. I even had some people that were telling me, yeah, but that's not the question, Josh. That's not what's really going on. You know, what you're really saying. And they read more into what I was saying. Like I'm making some kind of, you know, and they get into this. They get into this Rothschilds, you know, all this stuff. It was strange that other people were projecting whatever this is that's in their heart. They were projecting it onto a very simple statement. I was not saying anything beyond Israel and the Jewish people have the right to exist. Many people read into that and they believed that I was trying to say something else or, you know, do your research, Josh, you know, all this stuff. And that was really interesting. So I actually had quite a few people unfollow me, you know, unfriend me on Facebook, totally denounce me, you know, say all these horrible things about, you know, me and Christina and that, you know, the basic, you know, shill kind of stuff. And, you know, fine, good. I'm glad that they unfriended me because what's the point of those people following me anyway? I've always been pro-Israel. I've always been pro-Jewish people. I want to see them accept, you know, Jesus as their Messiah, but I don't hate them for that. Like, that we're supposed to love and have compassion. So what people did was, what a lot of people did, either people were totally understood what I was saying and they were on board and they're like, yeah, me too. That's great, Josh. You know, what a boring thing to post, you know, isn't this kind of obvious? And yes, it should be. But I got people like that, it was totally on the other aisle. A lot of people, using this as their platform to spew out all this hate that they've apparently had in their, you know, just sitting in their heart waiting for an outlet. Now, I'm not talking about, I want to be clear about this. I'm not talking about people who are just critical of the Israeli government. And I'm not talking about those people. That's fine. I'm an American. I love America, and I'm critical of the American government. You know, you can be critical of a government and still love the country and the people. You know, half of the people in this country, you know, are in support of murdering children in the womb. Yet I still love the country. I still love the people. I believe that those people can be reached. I believe that, you know, where they are today doesn't have to define where they're going to be their entire lives. And so as much as I absolutely disagree with that kind of stuff, I still love them. So I'm not talking about those people. I have no issues with that. I mean, there's plenty to criticize, and I get it. And that was a common straw man argument that kept coming out. You know, people saying, "Oh, you're just crying anti-Semitism when anybody's, you know, critical." And no, I didn't even say anything like that. But what is anti-Semitic, what is absolutely racist, is when you throw a whole people group under the bus because of what a few from that people group have done. And look, I would say that about Muslims too. So it's not like I'm not picking favorites here. I would say that about Christians. I would say that about any people group, race, religion, anything. So when it comes to like Jewish people, and even that, you know, that term Jewish, you know, are we talking about, you know, their heritage? Are we talking about like their race, or are we talking about their religion? Because that word can be used for both. And you know, there's a lot of conflation there too. Either way, whether we're talking about race or ideology, I don't believe in hating these people, and I believe in loving them and trying to reach them with the truth. And I absolutely believe that they have a right to exist in their own land. I think that it's indefensible to say that they don't. And people will say, well, they have no claim to that land. That was just the Rothschilds thing, you know, years ago. And, you know, don't you know your history? Well, what about American history? Do we have a right to this land? I mean, you could all this was what was so ironic about all this. Everything that was said about from the actual like people who were flirting with racism. And I, again, I'm not just talking about people who were just being critical of things, but the people where it was clear they have some kind of hatred in their heart that they need to deal with, everything that they were trying to lob at the Jewish people at Israel, you could say the same arguments, the same things about America and the American people, but nobody is claiming that we don't have a right to exist. Nobody's claiming that we should be pushed out into the sea. And if somebody is, then why do you live here? You know, why are you here? So it's really hypocritical. So I got a lot of that stuff. People kind of blew up over it. And then I had some people who, you know, were really supportive and made some really good points on with what I was saying. Now, so I made that post. It blew up overnight, you know, got a lot of people riled up. Some people were claiming that I was just being provocative. That should not be a provocative statement. And, you know, that's part of it, too. If we as the church are so weak that we can't handle somebody with a different, like, even if you don't agree with that statement, if we as a church are so weak that we cannot handle an opposing view, a different opinion about something, especially something like that, we are in a lot of trouble. The enemy is just going to keep claiming more and more ground. Then what are we doing? Why are we even Christians at that point? You know, we're supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ. We're supposed to be unified. That doesn't mean that we have to agree with each other on every point. I mean, we're supposed to be unified despite our differences. Jesus knew that we were going to disagree on stuff. And yet he still prayed to the Father that we would be unified as much as he is unified with the Father. I can't even imagine that level of unity. But it's not going to happen because we all agree with each other on every single thing. Like, that's ridiculous. That's unrealistic. You know, maybe it'll be like that in the next life, but it's not going to be like that here. We're all working from limited knowledge, and that's why it's up to us to sharpen each other's arguments, to learn truth from each other. If somebody has an opinion that you don't agree with, well, put forth a compelling argument out of love and respect, because the second you start attacking somebody, they're not going to listen to you, which really undermines your own opinion. And it shows people that you don't really care about your opinion anyway. You care about being right. You know, you care about showing yourself as smarter than everybody else. You care that you're the one that has the secret knowledge that not everybody else has. And you care about showing that off to the world. That's a lot of those comments that I got. They didn't care about trying to, you know, those types of people. They didn't care about trying to share the truth out of love. You know, there wasn't with those types of people, there wasn't any attitude of, hey, you know what? I used to think that too. And, you know, this truth that I have now really set me free on this. And I want to share that with you. You know, here it is. And here's what led me to believe that. No, it was either people agreed with me. Great. Or most of those who disagreed used that as their platform to show everybody else how smart they were and how stupid the world is. Really though, it was the opposite. And then I did, in fairness, I did get a few people that just respectfully disagreed and kind of left it at that. And so that's great. But what I got a lot was, you need to do your research, Josh. You know, I got a lot of that stuff. Yeah. Okay. So after that, I put up another post that said, I learned a lot from a post I made last night. Actually, here, I'll screen share so you can see it. I learned a lot from a post I made last night. Honestly, I never thought there would come a time when a statement like, I as a Christian support Israel's right to exist, would become so controversial. I was also surprised how simple some of my Facebook followers found it to identify themselves as, you know, as they are looking for a chance to do so. Lastly, I do find it ironic that basically all of the insults hurled against Israel and the Jewish people could easily be turned around and said about America and the American people. Though, is anyone saying we don't have a right to exist? And if we don't, why are you here? You know, why are you an American? Why do you live in America if you're going to say that? You could look at the founding of our country and find some really evil stuff. You know, secret society stuff, even, you know, read anything by Tom Horn and you'll know what I mean. So why would it not be okay to lump all Americans into that? You know, imagine if somebody from another country just lumped all Americans into the same bucket because of how our country got started, how our country was founded, and what a few Americans do today. I mean, we have a lot of problems in this country. I mean, sex trafficking is just insane, and it's increasing. At least Trump's trying to do something about it. But we have so many disgusting problems in this country. Yeah, we all know that it would be ridiculous to lump all Americans into that bucket. Now, again, not everybody was lumping all Jewish people into that, but a lot of people were. A lot of people were saying, like, their evidence on why we should not support Israel at all is because of how it was founded, basically. You know, who founded it and how it was founded, because it was evil people who founded it. And they have no claim to that land. Those are bold statements that, you know, talk about do your research. Oh my gosh. That's just flying off the handle with like no evidence or no research. Well, you watched a YouTube video or, you know, you read somebody's self-published book and all of a sudden you're an expert. And look, I'm not an expert on this stuff either. This is a convoluted, like complicated thing. But the simple truth is, we as Christians are supposed to love even our enemies. And I don't even look at them as our enemies, but we're supposed to love even our enemies. Even those who are persecuting us actively, we're supposed to love and try to reach with the gospel, try to reach with the truth. It's not an excuse. Nothing that anybody brought up is any excuse. So what? I don't care if they're the most evil people in the world. We're still supposed to go and share the gospel with them. We shouldn't lump every person in that group into one thing and define it based on what the most evil among them have done. I mean, it's ridiculous. I think that they are just human beings like all of us are. And I think that Jesus died on the cross for them too. And by the way, I believe that about Muslims. I believe that about just everybody. Yet for some reason, when it comes to Israel, that for some people, that's like a big trigger. So I am actually grateful that a lot of people clearly just identified themselves as anti-Semitic, you know, not super intelligent people. And that's great. So those people who unfriended me, I'm glad that that happened, because it really freed up a lot of room in my friends list, because I've been at the 5,000 limit for friends on Facebook for a long time. So that helped. I was able to accept more friends who actually care to have a conversation. And again, it's not that they disagreed with me. You know, I posted an something else that I posted too, which it's what's interesting to me is just the level of vitriol that comes out when somebody just doesn't agree. And you know, I think that's all about like control and stuff, because if somebody disagrees with you, then you know that you don't have control over that person. Now for most people, no, you know, we don't care about that. You know, I don't want to control anybody. It's my job. If I have a strong enough opinion on something, it's my job to convince you. And if I don't, then I need to either get some better arguments, or I need to reexamine mine, or we just have to agree to disagree. Now, most of my opinions, I could go either way on. And I'm trying to find the post now. I posted something about the moon landing, and it was funny because it had the same type of response from people. Like, as angry as some people got about the Israel thing, they got just as angry about the moon landing thing. And it's like those two things are so different. Having trouble finding it. But basically, I said that I do believe the moon landing happened. Because, oh, here it is. I believe the moon landing happened. I don't believe our government is competent enough to keep that big of a secret for this long, with so many people, agencies, and world powers involved, with all of them remaining in agreement to keep up the lie. And some people, some people went crazy over that. Like, they couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle that I believe that the moon landing happened, or that the moon exists. I even get a lot of people like that, like mad at me because I believe the moon exists. Like, there's a lot I could say about that, but anyway, so either people were like denouncing me, or they were fighting amongst each other. A lot of infighting in this thing. It's like, guys, don't fight about it. You know, talk about it. Tell me why you don't believe it happened, and that's fine. I don't think that view is stupid. I don't think it's stupid to believe that it didn't happen. There's suspicious things. So why not just talk about it? Like, just have a fun conversation. Like, why make it this horrible like fighting thing? Like, it just shows how we as Christians, we're clearly not in the same camp. We're a whole bunch of little camps spread around, and we're so deluded that the enemy has just such an easy time picking us off one by one. The enemy has successfully broken up our army. We're all over the place. We can't agree on anything, and we can't even agree to disagree. And the enemy is using that to pick us off one by one, mainly through pride. Because when somebody feels like they know something that other people don't, that's a big temptation to let that turn into pride. And I see a lot of that with stuff like this. You dare to disagree with somebody, and you see that pride. And it's poison. It's poison to the church, and it's poison to the individual. And you're not going to successfully be able to reach anybody with the gospel acting like that. You know, I'll tell you, there have been times where people have had, you know, interesting videos or interesting shows, and I've considered interviewing them or bringing them on. And when I see their behavior online, and I see that they're just mean, and they can't handle it if somebody disagrees, I don't invite that person on. I just usually I end up just not even following them at all. But I don't invite that person on, and I don't think people realize how much that actually happens. Like, that shuts doors of opportunity. And I don't even mean opportunity to be on TV and to, you know, have internet fame and all. It's not even about that. But with that type of attitude, doors get closed where you could be spreading the gospel to people. Like, you could use those opportunities to reach a larger audience and spread the gospel to people. But the second I see somebody acting like that, it's like, That's so unchristian. And I'm not saying they're not saved, but it's an absolutely unchristian attitude. That's not what Jesus instilled, and that's not how he wants us to be treating one another. But I did think that it was kind of funny that the moon landing got just as much vitriol from basically the same types of people, got just as much vitriol as the Israel Jewish right to exist stuff. So this goes beyond these issues, because it could be any issue. And that's the main point that I wanted to hit before we go to members only content. It could be any issue. It goes beyond that. It's not about the issues. It's because some people have something wrong, just some hate or some hurt or something deep within their heart, and that's constantly looking for an excuse to unleash it to the world because it makes them feel better for a little bit. Until it builds up and they have to do it again. So it could be any issue. So I'm not talking about the people who just disagreed with the issue and they have their own opinions and they laid out their own evidence and, you know, they ask good questions. Love those people. That's great. Because for them, it's not a point of pride. They're okay if I don't agree with them, and I'm okay if they don't agree with me. We just have a conversation anyway. So I'm not talking about those people. That's great. That's loving. That's Christian. That's wonderful. And the world would be a better place if everybody could discuss like that, could talk like that. I'm talking about the people who have some inner wounds that I frankly can't understand, really. I mean, I get a little bit of it. When I first started using the internet, I was a little bit trolly, you know, years and years ago. And I've talked about that before. And, you know, I've had past stuff that would come out like that. So, I mean, I guess I can sort of understand it, but not to that level. I mean, to the point, like, this attitude, okay, this belief that you have secret knowledge that no one else has, and you're special because of that, that is an addiction. And people need more and more and more of it. I mean, they treat it like a drug. That's how people get into these just really out there and really hateful, too. Really hateful, prideful types of conspiracy theories, you know, really just off the wall stuff, which leads them to think that they can be perfectly justified in openly hating all Jewish people and Israel. And you see some of that openly in the comments. It's not a straw man. Like, people have been very prideful and just open and honest about it. I even had some people just comment and say F Israel or F Jews, and just that. They didn't say F. They weren't as polite as I'm being now, but they just post that, they comment that, and they leave it there for thousands of people, for really the world to see. That's a spiritual disorder. There is something wrong with a person who is feeling perfectly justified in posting something like that for everybody to see, you know, for attention, or, you know, whatever the reason is. There's something spiritually wrong with an individual who would just blatantly say something like that without any regard, and, you know, without anything saying, oh, maybe this isn't the most intelligent thing to post. So I wanted to talk about that because people were asking me kind of, you know, why I posted that stuff, and then I posted a whole bunch of stuff saying, like, you know, Americans thumbs up, Jews thumbs up, Israel thumbs up. And the reason I did that was for the same reason as the other post. For one thing, because I believe in it, and it's my Facebook wall, and I'm going to post what I believe. Part of it was to weed some people out, because I really don't want, you know, just anti-Semitic people following me, because if unless they're going to learn, I don't mind if racists follow me, as long as they're open to learn, to not be that way, you know. But if the only reason they're following me is to just disagree and to be hateful about it, and that's it, then I'd rather they just not follow me at all. They can go troll somebody else. And I want to make room for people who actually do want to follow me. So anyway, I wanted to talk about all that. I wanted to explain what the posts were all about. If you do follow me on Facebook, and if you don't, then I wanted to tell you what happened, basically. And the whole reason is not just, you know, here's what happened to me on Facebook, but it's an example of something, a really big spiritual problem in the church today. It's one example of something that is indicative. And I'm hoping by talking about this, raising awareness, that you as the individual, if you are a Christian, that you'll do some introspection, kind of look in your own heart and see, you know, is there any part of me, is there any part of anything going on in here that contributes to this kind of stuff. Is there any spiritual problem in me that I need to work out with the Lord? Because it's too easy for people to act like this online, and they think that it's not the real world. But yes, it is. Actually, I would say the internet, online, Facebook comments, YouTube comments, I think that's more real than the real world. The real world, when you talk to people, you're accountable to them. You're accountable to somebody when you're face-to-face with them. That's why typically people don't go around saying F you to, you know, everybody that they see. But they do that online because they can hide. You know, they can hide behind their screens. In a sense, they have a mask. I think it was Oscar Wilde who said, if you want the truth from somebody, give them a mask. If you want the truth from somebody, give them a mask. And that's absolutely true. That's what we're seeing online. The internet... that's their mask, and you're actually seeing what's in people's hearts. So there's a big problem with some Christians today, and I think that I don't even think it's most Christians. I think probably most Christians have a little bit of that, you know, in us, you know, myself included. I'm sure I do. And it, you know, it took years for Jesus to kind of work that out in me, and it took you know, me having to actively reject pride. But it's hard. I mean, it's a struggle. It's difficult. We're human. We're flawed. So I think probably most Christians have a little bit of that. But I think most Christians are able to keep it in check, and they're able to know that it's wrong, and you know they know not to do it. But a very loud minority of Christians indulge in this kind of stuff, this prideful stuff, and I don't think that we are holding them accountable enough in the way that we should. And I don't really know what the answer is. I don't really know how to do that. I mean, how do you do it? You call them out online? Well, they're already publicly online saying stuff, so that's not going to do anything. They're already, you know, So what do we do? I don't know the answer to that. The only thing that I've found is basically ignore them. You know, don't feed the trolls. Ignore them. Block them if you have to. Delete their comments. You know. Because there's nothing more crippling to somebody like that when they send a comment, a big paragraph, you know, that they spent 20 minutes writing, and they put that on your wall, and then you just immediately delete it because all it is troll kind of stuff. You just immediately delete it. There's nothing more crippling to them because it shows them, look, the world doesn't care. Like, Christians don't care about your nasty attitude. Your beliefs are not that important. And you're not helping Christianity by posting them like that. Now, if you want to have a respectful conversation about differing viewpoints, great. You know, that's awesome. And we should encourage that kind of stuff more. But yeah, the trollish vitriol kind of stuff, I think that we as Christians find it too easy to try and go and comment back and argue with them and think that we're going to change their mind. We're not going to change their minds because it's not a mind problem. It's a spirit problem. It's a heart problem. No amount of logic in the world will pull them out of that. That's something that we need to pray for them for, and that's something that the, you know, inner working of the Holy Spirit will have to handle. And we as Christians who don't like to partake in this kind of stuff, you know, we need to understand that about ourselves. We need to be humble enough to understand nothing I can say is going to change this person's mind, because that's not what this person's trying to do. This person is expelling out a whole bunch of hurt and hate that they're holding in their heart. It's not about logic. It's not about having solid arguments. It's not about anything like that. It's their own pride and hatred coming out. So no amount of logic or reason is going to convince an unreasonable person. So that's the whole reason I wanted to bring that up. Again, it wasn't just, you know, look what happened to me online, but I wanted to use that to hopefully give you guys some tools to work with when this kind of thing happens to you, because it will. If it hasn't already, it will. If you're online at all, you're going to run into people like this, and it is incredibly tempting to want to engage with these people. But all you're doing is feeding them, and all you're doing is proving to them, you're giving them what they want. You're proving to them that their way of handling this is the right way for them, because you're feeding them. You're getting exactly what, you know, what you're giving them exactly what they want. And look, I've been guilty of this too. There was probably a few responses in there that maybe I didn't need to make with people. You know, I tried to keep it brief and stuff. I'm sure if I went through everything that I said, I probably have some of that too. So hopefully we can all work together and kind of learn from each other. And, If we don't pay attention to these people, they will go away. Like they won't have a they'll starve basically. They won't have a reason to be like that anymore. If we created a culture online where if you're going to have anything to say, it's going to have to, you know, it's going to have to be intelligent. You're going to have reasons for why you believe. Otherwise, people aren't going to be interested in engaging with you in any kind of dialogue. And you're going to have to be respectful, and you're going to have to put your love for your brothers and sisters in Christ first above all differing opinions. That's what you're going to have to do. And we're supposed to do that with even non-Christians. Again, we're supposed to pray for and love and minister even to the enemy. You know, not the spiritual enemy. I don't mean Satan and fallen angels and stuff, but just to people who are persecuting us. We're supposed to be doing that as well. So pray for these people. All right, we're going to go to members only content. We have to talk about Goliath, and some Nephilim ruins have recently been uncovered, which is really interesting. If you haven't had a chance to do so, go to dailyrenegade.com, become a member, $10 a month or $100 a year. Get the $100 a year, because that way you only have to pay for it once. You don't have to think about it for a whole year, and you get 2 months free. So $10 a month, that's about $120 a year. $100 a month, that's $20 off. You get two months for free, basically. So make sure you do that, dailyrenegade.com. Also, at the top toolbar of Daily Renegade, I'm going to switch on screen share so I can show you. At the top toolbar here, we have Kratom and CBD. Now, this is a great company because they do accept credit cards. They do. You don't have to set up a Zelle Pay. You don't have to do, you know, anything like that. I use Kratom and CBD every day, every single day. I'm a chronic pain sufferer. I don't sleep well because of it. CBD helps me sleep, and it's cut down a lot of my pain. I haven't needed to take as much Kratom since I started taking CBD. Kratom is excellent. It's a great, just all-natural pain reliever, and it really does work. This here, Kratom and CBD, I would throw that in there too. This is the answer to the opioid crisis. But you're not going to hear about it. Like you're not going to hear anything truthful, you know, in the mainstream media, because they want to say that it's responsible for all these deaths and stuff. And when you actually look into those deaths, it's not the they call it Kratom related death. But a heroin overdose could have been the reason that the person died. But if there's any amount of Kratom in their system, then they'll mark it as a Kratom related death. They'll use the deaths of these people towards their own political agenda to try to regulate and ban this stuff, really. So I say get it while you can. Get it now. Go over to dailyrenegade.com and click on this top banner, or this here takes you to the same place, this ad here, and get some Kratom, get some CBD. Stock up, because they are coming for this stuff. I voted for Trump. I'm a Trump supporter all the way, but I am not. This is one area that I'm not super trustworthy. I'm not confident that the Trump administration won't ban this stuff. And the reason I say that is because they're going after flavored e-cigarettes because five kids died, and the stuff that the kids died from was like black market stuff that you can't get at a gas station. It's like black market stuff, you know, garbage. But now the Trump administration is talking about banning e-cigarettes for some reason. And like, I don't even care anything about vaping, but I do hate this nanny state banning everything stuff. I hate it. I think people are adults and they can make their own decisions, you know? So I don't entirely trust that Kratom CBD, that it won't get banned under the Trump administration. I hope not. I really hope not. I mean, Trump's at least a lot better with this stuff than anybody from the left would be. Probably a lot of other people on the right too. But I don't trust it. So make sure you go and stock up, get a bunch of it today. It now is the time to stock up while you can get it. And it's really cheap too. For how much benefit you get from this stuff, it's super cheap. But okay, dailyrenegade.com. Once again, we are going to go to member only content. So if you're viewing for free, thank you so much. Make sure you subscribe to this channel. Click on the bell for notifications. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram. We are everywhere. Twitter. You can find all those social media links. Just go to dailyrenegade.com and become a member today. Okay, members only. Thank you so much for being a member. Thank you for your support. Thank you for sticking with us. We have a new website coming in about a week, and it's going to be phenomenal for you members. You're going to love it. So I'm really excited about that. So there's a story that just came out And this is from Daily Star. Biblical bombshell as archaeologists discover origins of David and Goliath battle. So it says that archaeologists excavating Goliath's hometown, Gath, have unearthed a new layer of ruins dating back to the time of the biblical battle, and they're unusually large, which is strange, these ruins. So excavation director Aaron Meyer of Bar-Ilan University in Israel said the discovery came as a surprise after 23 years. He said, quote, we now know the size and impressive nature of the early Iron Age city is quite different than previously thought. It was assumed the city reached its large size during the 10th and 9th century BCE. It now appears that the early Iron Age city, 11th century BC and perhaps before, may have even been bigger and more impressive. This is a surprise of sort after 23 years of excavations of this site. End quote. So these ruins were a lot larger than expected. Now we know, Goliath was a giant, maybe offspring of the Nephilim. There's still a lot of strange things with that. People have their own ideas about that. But the excavation director also said, quote, perhaps the legends of giants among the Philistines, and in particular from Gath, Goliath, and others, may have arisen, among other reasons, from seeing the impressive monumental remains of the city in the centuries after its destruction, end quote. I don't agree with that at all. I don't think that they're just legends. I think that it's actual history, and I think it's because there were giants, I think it's just as simple as that. But, obviously not everybody who's going to excavate these ruins are going to come to that same conclusion, especially if they're not Christian or even if they are Christian. There are a lot of Christians that don't believe that. And that's fine. People can have their own opinions. But it says the newly formed fortifications are reportedly 4 meters or 13 feet wide, whereas walls from later periods are up to 2.5 meters or 8 feet wide. So the buildings, the building blocks themselves are also bigger. Measuring up to 2 meters or 6.5 feet in the Goliath layer and only half a meter or 1.6 feet in later layers. So there's some pictures here. I can show you these. This is the water gate at Goliath's ancient hometown of Gath. You can see that. Here is archaeologists were stunned to discover a new hidden layer of ruins in Gath. So there's the archaeologists. It says here that Gath covered a large space, too, reportedly stretching across 123.5 acres, more than twice the area of most comparable cities in the region at that time. So Dr. Meyer said, quote, this changes our understanding of the development of the site and its relationship and primacy in regard to other Philistine sites, end quote. So in terms of direct evidence for a historical Goliath, so far the closest thing that archaeologists have is a shard unearthed in 2005, which featured two names with a similar route to Goliath. So the city was eventually destroyed in 830 BC by Haziel of Aram Damascus. So very interesting. I think they're going to keep finding more and more of this kind of stuff. I'd be interested to know what you think about it, but I think that there's going to be more ruins and it's going to be more difficult to deny that there were giants in those days. Of course, they probably always will deny it. Because it's weird and it adds legitimacy to the Bible. And if the Bible's true, then we have to be held accountable to a God that's not going to let us do anything we want, everything that we want. So there's some deep-seated issues on why some people just won't accept this stuff. So I think there's always going to be deniers of it. But I think the more that they find this, the more apparent it's going to be that there were giants in those days. I would love to know what you think about it. Leave me a comment on the website. That would be great. And I think that's it. So that's all for today. Thank you so much, everybody. And until next time, take care and God bless. We'll be right back.